The Catholic Controversy, The Protestant Violation of Holy Scripture, by St. Francis de Sales. 1567-1622, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. Chapter I. The Scripture is a true rule of Christian faith. I well know, thank God, that tradition was before all Scripture, since a good part of Scripture itself is only tradition reduced to writing, with an infallible assistance of the Holy Spirit. But, since the authority of Scripture is more easily received by the Reformers than that of tradition, I begin with the former in order to get a better entrance for my argument. Holy Scripture is in such sort the rule of the Christian faith that we are obliged by every kind of obligation to believe most exactly all that it contains, and not to believe anything which may be ever so little contrary to it. For if our Lord himself has sent the Jews to it to strengthen their faith, it must be a most safe standard. The Sadducees erred because they did not understand the Scriptures. They would have done better to attend to them, as to a light shining in a dark place, according to the advice of Saint Peter, who having himself heard the voice of the Father in the transfiguration of the Son, bases himself more firmly on the testimony of the prophets than on this experience. When God says to Joshua, "Let not the book of this law depart from thy mouth," he shows clearly that he willed him to have it always in his mind, and to let no persuasion enter which should be contrary to it. But I am losing time. This disputation would be needed against free thinkers, lay libertines. We are agreed on this point, and those who are so mad as to contradict it, can only rest their contradiction on the Scripture itself, contradicting themselves before contradicting the Scripture, using it in the very protestation which they make that they will not use it. Chapter 2. How jealous we should be of their integrity. On this point, again, I will scarcely delay. The Holy Scripture is called the Book of the Old and of the New Testament. When a notary has drawn a contract or other deed, when a testament is confirmed by the death of the testator, there must not be added, withdrawn, or altered one single word under penalty of falsification. Are not the Holy Scriptures the true testament of the eternal God, drawn by the notaries deputed for this purpose, duly sealed and signed with his blood, confirmed by death? Being such, how can we alter even the smallest point without impiety? A testament, says the great Ulpian, is a just expression of our will as to what we would have done after our death. Our Lord by the Holy Scriptures shows us what we must believe, hope for, love, and do, and this by a true expression of his will. If we add, take away, or change, it will no longer be the true expression of God's sound will. For our Lord having duly expressed in Scripture his will, if we add anything of our own we shall make the statement go beyond the will of our testator. If we take anything away we shall make it fall short. If we make changes in it we shall set it awry, and it will no longer correspond to the will of the author, nor be a correct statement. When two things exactly correspond, he who changes the one destroys the equality and the correspondence between them. If it be a true statement, whatever right have we to alter it? Our Lord puts a value on the iotas, yea, the mere little points and accents of his holy words. How jealous then is he of their integrity, and what punishment shall they not deserve who violate this integrity? Brethren, says Saint Paul, Galatians 3:15, 16, I speak after the manner of man, yet a man's saint testament, if it be confirmed, no man despiseth, nor addeth to it. And to show how important it is to learn the Scripture in its exactness, he gives an example. To Abraham were the promises made, and to his seed. He says not unto his seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, who is Christ. See, I beg you, how the change from singular to plural would have spoiled the mysterious meaning of this word. The Ephratites frame it said Sibboleth, not forgetting a single letter, but because they did not pronounce it thickly enough. The Galaadites slew them at the fords of the Jordan, Judges 12:6. The simple difference of pronunciation in speaking, and in writing them, ear transposition of one single point on the letter sin caused the ambiguity. and changing the genin into semol, instead of an ear of wheat expressed a weight or a burden. Whosoever alters or adds the slightest accent in the scripture is a sacrilegious man, and deserves the death of him who dares to mingle thr profane with the sacred. The Arians, as Saint Augustine tells us to Doc. Chris 3.2, corrupted this sentence of Saint John I.1, in principio erat verbum, et verbum erat apud Deum, et Deus erat verbum, hoc erat in principio apud Deum, by simply changing a point. For they read it thus, et verbum erat apud Deum et Deus erat verbum hoc, and see, instead of, Deus erat verbum, hoc erat in principio apud Deum. They placed the full stop after the erat, instead of after the verbum. They so acted for fear of having to grant that the word was God. So little is required to change the sense of God's sound word. When one is handling glass beads, if two or three are lost, it is a small matter, but if they were oriental pearls the loss would be great. The better the wine the more it suffers from the mixture of a foreign flavor, and the exquisite symmetry of a great picture will not bear the admixture of new colors. Such is the conscientiousness with which we ought to regard and handle the sacred deposit of the scriptures. Chapter 3. What are the sacred books of the Word of God? The Council of Trent gives these books as sacred, divine and canonical: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, the four books of Kings, two of the Paralipomenon, two of Esdras a first, and a second, which is called of Nehemiah's, Tobias, Judith, Esther, Job, 150 Psalms of David, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Canticle of Canticles, Wisdom, Ecclesiasticus, Isaiah's, Jeremiah's with Baruch, Ezechiel, Daniel, Ozzy, Joel, Amos, Abdias, Jonas, Micaiah's, Nahum, Habakkuk, Sophonias, Agabus, Zacharias, Malachi, two of Maccabees, first and second, of the New Testament, four Gospels, Saint Matthew, Saint Mark, Saint Luke, Saint John, the Acts of the Apostles by Saint Luke, 14 Epistles of Saint Paul, to the Romans, 2 to the Corinthians, to the Galatians, to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, to the Colossians, 2 to the Thessalonians, 2 to Timothy, to Titus, to Philemon, to the Hebrews, 2 of Saint Peter, 3 of Saint John, 1 of Saint James, 1 of Saint Jude, and the Apocalypse. The same books were received at the Council of Florence, and long before that at the Third Council of Carthage about 1200 years. These books are divided into two ranks, four of some, both of the Old and of the New Testament. It was never doubted but that they were sacred and canonical. Others there are about whose authority the ancient fathers doubted for a time, but afterwards they were placed with those of the first rank. Those of the first rank in the Old Testament are the five of Moses, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, four of Kings, two of Paralipomenon, two of Esdras and Nehemiah's, Job, 150 Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Canticles, the four greater prophets, the 12 lesser prophets. These were formed into the canon by the great synod at which Esdras was present, and to which he was scribe, and no one ever doubted of their authority without being at once considered a heretic, as our learned Ginebrard fully proves in his Chronology ad Ann 3638. The second rank contains the following: Esther, Baruch, a part of Daniel, the history of Susanna, the Canticle of the Three Children, and the history of the death of the dragon in the 14th chapter; Tobias, Judith, Wisdom, Ecclesiasticus, Maccabees 1 and 2. And as to these there is a great probability in the opinion of the same Dr. Ginebrard ib. Sic. Et ad Ann. 3860. He quotes Saint Epiphanes, et Pond, and Josephus, contra ap. 2. Saint Epiph speaks only of Baruch, that in the meeting which was held at Jerusalem to send the 72 interpreters into Egypt, these books, which were not in existence when Esdras made the first canon, were placed on the canon, at least tacitly, because they were sent with the others to be translated except the Maccabees, which were received in another meeting afterwards, wherein the proceeding were again approved. But however the case may be, as the second canon was not made so authentically as the first, this placing on the canon could not procure them an entire and unquestionable authority among the Jews, nor make them equal with the books of the first rank. Coming to the books of the New Testament, I say that in the same way there are some of the first rank, which have always been acknowledged and received as sacred and canonical. These are the four Gospels: Saint Matthew, Saint Mark, Saint Luke, Saint John. All the epistles of Saint Paul except that to the Hebrews, one of Saint Peter, one of Saint John. Those of the second rank are the epistle to the Hebrews, that of Saint James, the second of Saint Peter, the second and third of Saint, that of Saint Jude, the 16th chapter of Saint Mark, as Saint Jerome says, and Saint Luke's and history of the bloody sweat of our Lord in the Garden of Olives, according to the same Saint Jerome. In the 8th chapter of Saint John there has been a doubt concerning the history of the woman taken in adultery, or at least some suspect that it has been doubted, and concerning verse 7 of the last chapter of Saint John's first epistle. These are, as far as we know, the books and parts of books concerning which it appears there was anciently some doubt. And these were not of undoubted authority in the church at first, but as time went on they were at length recognized as the sacred work of the Holy Spirit, and not all at once but at different times. And first, besides those of the first rank, whether of the New or of the Old Testament, about the year 364 they were received at the Council of Laodicea, Canon 60, which was afterwards approved in the Sixth General Council, the Book of Esther, the Epistle of Saint James, the second of Saint Peter, the second and third of Saint John, that of Jude, and the Epistle to the Hebrews as the 14th of Saint Paul. Then some time afterwards at the Third Council of Carthage, in Canon 36 of the Council of Hippo, approved in Third Council of Carthage, TR, at which Saint Augustine assisted, and which was confirmed in the Sixth General Council in Trullo. Besides those of the second rank just mentioned, there were received into the canon, as of full authority, Tobias, Judith, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Wisdom, Ecclesiasticus, and the Apocalypse. But of all those of the second rank, the Book of Judith was first received and acknowledged as divine, in the First General Council of Nice, as Saint Jerome witnesses in his preface to this book. Such is the way in which the two ranks were brought together into one, and ever made of equal authority in the Church of God, but progressively and with succession, as a beautiful morning rising, which little by little lights up our hemisphere. Thus was drawn up in the Council of Carthage, that same ancient list of the canonical books which has ever since been in the Catholic Church and which was confirmed in the Sixth General Council, at the Great Council of Florence 160 years ago for the union of the Armenians by the whole Church, both Greek and Latin, in our age by the Council of Trent, and which was followed by Saint Augustine ad hoc, chr. 2.8. Before the Council of Carthage they were not all received as canonical by any decree of the general church. I had almost forgotten to say that you must not therefore make a difficulty against what I have just laid down because Baruch is not quoted by name in the Council of Carthage. For since Baruch was secretary of Jeremias, the book of Baruch was reckoned by the ancients as an accessory or appendix of Jeremias, being comprised under this, as that excellent theologian Bellarmine proves in his Controversies. But it is enough for me to have said thus. My brief outline is not obliged to dwell on every particular. In a word, all these books, whether of first or second rank, with all the parts, are equally certain, sacred and canonical, and are received in the Catholic Church. I.E. in Canon 2 of the Council in Trullo or Quirinae Sext, which is called by the Greeks the Sixth General Council, as being a continuation or supplement of it. Such canons of this council as were not opposed to previous decrees were approved by Rome. C.F.L. Cone, B.K. 17. The Sanct words are well defended by Alibrandi in the Prosimu and Rispons, pp. 80, 81, tr. Chapter 4. First violation of the Holy Scriptures made by the Reformers, by cutting off some of its parts. Such are the sacred and canonical books which the Church has unanimously received and acknowledged during 1200 years. And by what authority have these new reformers dared to wipe out at one stroke so many noble parts of the Bible? They have erased a part of Esther, and Baruch, Tobias, Judith, Wisdom, Ecclesiasticus, Maccabees. Who has told them that these books are not legitimate and not to be received? Why do they thus dismember the sacred body of the Scriptures? Here are the principal reasons, as far as I have been able to gather from the old preface to the books which they pretend to be apocryphal, printed at Neufchâtel, in the translation of Peter Robert, otherwise Olivet Annus, a relation and friend of Calvin, and again from the newer preface placed to the same books by the professors and pretended pastors of the Church of Geneva, 1588. 1. They are not found either in Hebrew or Chaldaic, in which languages they except perhaps the Book of Wisdom were originally written, therefore it would be very difficult to restore them. 2. They are not received as legitimate by the Jews. 3. Nor by the whole Church. 4. Saint Jerome says they are not considered proper for corroborating the authority of ecclesiastical doctrines. 5. Canon law condemns them. 6. As does also the gloss, which says they are read, but not generally, as if to say that they are not approved generally everywhere. 7. They have been corrupted and falsified, as Eusebius says Hist. Ec. 4:22. 8. Notably the Maccabees. 9. And particularly the second of Maccabees, which Saint Jerome says he did not find in Hebrew. Such are the reasons of Olivet Annus. 10. There are in them many false things, says the new preface. Let us now see what these fine researches are worth. 1. And as to the first, are you unwilling to receive these books because they are not in Hebrew or Chaldaic? Receive Tobias then, for Saint Jerome attests that he translates it from Chaldaic into Latin, in the epistle which you yourselves quote. Ep. Ad Crum. Et Heliad. Which makes me think all are hardly in good faith. And why not Judith, which was also written in Chaldaic, as the same Saint Jerome says in the prologue? And if Saint Jerome says he was not able to find the second of Maccabees in the Hebrew, what has that to do with the first? This then receive as it deserves. We will treat of the second afterwards. I say the same to you about Ecclesiasticus, which Saint Jerome hadn't found in Hebrew, as he says in his preface on the books of Solomon. Since, then, you reject these books written in Hebrew or Chaldaic equally with the others which are not written in one of these languages, you will have to find another pretext than that which you have alleged for striking out the books from the canon. When you say that you reject them because they are not written in Hebrew or Chaldaic, this is not your real reason, for you would not reject on this ground Tobias, Judith, the first of Maccabees, Ecclesiasticus, which are written either in Hebrew or Chaldaic. But let us now speak in defense of the other books, which are written in a language other than that which you would have. Where do you find that the rule for rightly receiving the Holy Scriptures is that they should be written in these languages rather than in Greek or Latin? You say that nothing must be received in matter of religion but what is written, and you bring forward in your grand preface the saying of jurisconsults, "We blush to speak without a law." Do you not consider that the controversy about the validity or invalidity of the Scriptures is one of the most important in the sphere of religion? Well then, either remain confounded, or else produce the Holy Scripture for the negative which you maintain. The Holy Spirit certainly declares himself as well in Greek as in Chaldaic. There would be, you say, great difficulty in restoring them, since we do not possess them in their original language, and it is this which troubles you. But, for God's saints' sake, tell me who told you that they were lost, corrupted or altered, so as to need restoration? You take for granted, perhaps, that those who have translated them from the originals have translated badly, and you would have the original to compare them and judge them. Make your meaning clear then, and say that they are therefore apocryphal because you cannot yourselves be the translators of them from the original, and cannot trust the judgment of the translator. So there is to be nothing certain except what you have had the control of. Show me this rule of certitude in the scripture. Further, are you fully assured that you have the Hebrew texts of the books of the first rank, as pure and exact as they were in the time of the apostles and of the 70? Beware of errors. You certainly do not always follow then, and you could not, with good conscience, show me this again in the Holy Scripture. Here, therefore, is your fissured reason most wanting in reason. 2. As to your saying that these books which you call apocryphal are not received by the Jews, you say nothing new or important. Saint Augustine loudly exclaims, it is the Catholic Church which holds the books of Maccabees as canonical, not the Jews. De Civ. De 18. 36. Show me from Scripture that the Christian Church has not as much power to give authority to the sacred books as the Mosaic may have had. There is not in this either Scripture or reason to show for it. 3. Yes, but the whole of the Church does not receive them, you say. Of what Church are you speaking? Unquestionably the Catholic, which is the true Church, receives them, as Saint Augustine has just now borne witness to you, and he repeats it, citing the Council of Carthage, the Council in Trullo the Sixth General, that of Florence, and 100 ancient authors are there too. I name Saint Jerome, who witnesses for the Book of Judith that it was received in the First Council of Nice. Perhaps you would say that of old time some Catholics doubted of their authority. This is clear from the division which I have made above. But does their doubt then make it impossible for their successors to come to a conclusion? Are we to say that if one cannot decide at the very first glance, one must always remain wavering, uncertain, and irresolute? Was there not for some time an uncertainty about the Apocalypse and Esther? You would not dare to deny it. My witnesses for Esther are too sound, Saint Athanasius in Synopsi and Saint Gregory Nazianzen in Calm. Galib, Sac, for the Apocalypse, the Council of Laodicea, and yet you receive them. Either receive them all, since they are in equal position, or receive none, on the same ground. But in God's name, what humor takes you that you here bring forward the Church, whose authority you hold to be 100 times more uncertain than these books themselves, and which you say to have been erring, inconstant, yea apocryphal, if apocryphal means hidden? You only prize it to despise it, and to make it appear inconstant, now recognizing, now rejecting these books. But there is a great difference between doubting whether a thing is to be accepted and rejecting it. Doubt doesn't hinder a subsequent resolution. Indeed, it is its preliminary stage. To reject presupposes a decision. Inconstancy does not consist in changing a doubt into resolution, but in changing from resolution to doubt. It is not instability to become settled after wavering, but to waver after being settled. The Church then, having for a time left these books in doubt, at length has received them with authentic decision, and you wish that from this resolution she should return into doubt. It belongs to heresy and not to the Church thus to advance from bad to worse, but of this elsewhere. 4. As for Saint Jerome whom you allege, this is not to the purpose, since in his time the Church had not yet come to the resolution which she has come to since, as to the placing of these books on the canon, except that of Judith. 5. And the canon Sancta Romana, which is of Gelasius I think you have taken it by guess, for it is entirely against you, because, while censuring the apocryphal books, it does not name one of these which we receive, but on the contrary witnesses that Tobias and the Maccabees were publicly received in the Church. 6. And the poor gloss does not deserve to be thus glossed, since it clearly says that these books are read, though not perhaps generally. This perhaps guards it from stating what is false, and you have forgotten it. And if it reckons the books in question as apocryphal, this is because it considered that apocryphal meant the having no certain author, and thereover it includes as apocryphal the Book of Judges, and their statements are not so authentic that they must pass as decisive judgment. After all, it is but a gloss. 7. And these falsifications which you allege are not in any way sufficient to abolish the authority of these books, because they have been justified and have been purified from all corruption before the church received them. Truly, all the books of Holy Scripture have been corrupted by the ancient enemies of the church, but by the providence of God they have remained free and pure in the church's sound hands, as a sacred deposit, and they have never been able to spoil so many copies as that there should not remain enough to restore the others. 8. But you would have the Maccabees, at any rate, fall from our hands, when you say that they have been corrupted, but since you only advance a simple assertion I will return your pass by a simple negation. 9. Saint Jerome, you say, could not find the second in Hebrew, and although it is true that it is only as it were a letter which Israel sent to their Jewish brethren who were then out of Judea, and although it is written in the best known and most general language of those times, does it thence follow that it is not worthy to be received? The Egyptians used the Greek language much more than the Hebrew, as Ptolemy clearly showed when he procured the version of the 70. This is why this second book of Maccabees, which was like an epistle or commentary sent for the consolation of the Jews who were in Egypt, was written in Greek rather than in Hebrew. 10. It remains for the new preachers to point out those falsehoods of which they accuse these books, which they will in truth never do, but I see them coming, bringing forward the intercession of saints, prayer for the dead, free will, the honoring of relics, and similar points, which are expressly confirmed in the books of Maccabees, in Ecclesiasticus, and in other books which they pretend to be apocryphal. For God's saint's sake, take care that your judgment does not deceive you. Why, I pray you, do you call false things which the whole of antiquity has held as articles of faith? Why do you not rather censure your fancies which will not embrace the doctrine of these books, than censure these books which have been received for so long a time because they do not jump with your humor? Because you will not believe what the books teach, you condemn it. Why do you not rather condemn your presumption which is incredulous to their teaching? Here now, I think, are all your reasons scattered to the winds, and you can bring no more. But we may well say, if it be thus lawful indifferently to reject or make doubtful the authority of those scriptures, about which there was formerly a doubt, though the church has now decided, it will be necessary to reject or to doubt of a great part of the Old and the New Testament. It is then no little gain to the enemy of Christianity, to have at one stroke scratched out of the Holy Scripture so many noble parts. Let us proceed.